Hey, morena. That was not too bad, eh? Kei te pihea koutou, how you doing? Good. So don't forget kei te pai. Kei te pai is just a real good response. I'm good. Kei te ora, I'm well, pretty easy, okay? How am I? I'm kei te harikoa, aho. I'm just really excited. I'm happy, I'm joyful because of the sermon's like super heavy. But I've just had this massive feeling all week. I'll get there, hang on. And then, buenos dias. Any Espanol folks here this morning? Hey, ay. ¿Cómo estás? Always muy bien, man. Every time. Every Spanish person I know is always very good. That's what it means, very good. So, hola, good to see you guys. Hey, I thought we should say g'day first before we get into it. So I know some people just freak out when we do this, so bad luck, Jesus still loves you. So maybe just for like 10 seconds, put on that bravery pants or hat, whatever you want, and just turn to a few people around you, just say, kia ora, good to see you, you're looking fine this morning. Welcome some people, it'd be good. Cheers, cheers. Alrighty, kia ora, whakarongamai, listen back this way, shady folks. Hey, so I know people say this kind of thing in church all the time, but this sounds weird. I don't know, if you know me, I never talk like this, but I'm really excited about the sermon this morning. It's pretty heavy, so you might want to strap in and be prepared. But I just really feel that Jesus is going to set some people free this morning. A couple of things I'm going to talk about are destroying the culture, the society of Aotearoa. And I'm going to go pretty hard on a couple of things that has gripped us as people. And I just have felt all week as I've been working on the sermon, pumped in a weird way that some people are going to go, nah, too hard, bro. But I really feel so strongly that some of you by the end of the service are going to go, all right, Jesus, I'm freaking out right now, but let's go. That's what I think some of you are going to say, so it's your choice, right? But I'm harikoa. I am emocionado. I'm excited, right? Let me preach, or I'm going to get carried away just talking about the sermon before I even get into it. Hey, so we're at Joseph, chapter 39. Dave did a great message last week. The podcast didn't work, which stunk, but it was a really good message by Dave. And so we're in the next part of Joseph's story. And honestly, if you ever read the Bible and like fall asleep, you need to read the story of Joseph because it is the craziest story in the whole of the Bible. Like today, it's just a constant drama of madness. It starts out, he's like a slave, and then he rises to be like a business manager, and everything's going great. And you're like, wow, he's still a slave, which is horrible. We'll talk about that. He's all everything going great. And then there's a shady, lustful woman trying to have sex with him, and he's fighting her off and stuff and running away. And then he's unjustly, you know, accused, and he ends up in prison. And it's just like, what is this roller coaster ride of this guy? So if you're looking for some like action on a Sunday afternoon, again, man, everyone's looking at me like I'm crazy. We're all good, eh? Kia ora. Freaking me out, folks. If you're looking for some action, I get into the story of Joseph. It is just, it's a winner. It's really good. One of the things I keep thinking about when I was reading through this story, we're going to read it in a sec. One of the things I kept reading about is how the heck does Joseph stay tight with God through this? I mean, things are hitting the fan left, right, and center for this guy. It looks like everything's going good, and the next minute it's just like, slap. Finally, everything's going, slap. Finally, everything's getting good, slap. It's just, but through it all, Faith and Hardship. It's the title of this series on Joseph, Faith and Hardship. And I keep reading it, and I'm like, who is this guy? God gives him these massive dreams back in the day, right? These massive dreams that people are going to bow down to him, and he's going to be amazing and stuff. Next minute, he's a slave with no rights, no voice, no life, no nothing. And he must have, through all this, thought, where the heck is God, man? I know we feel like that, right? We feel like that. God gives us a promise. We feel a blessing from God. And then things are hitting the fan and we're struggling and health and whānau and life and jobs. And you're like, where the heck did God go? What happened to that blessing he promised me? And I want us to really look hard out at what Joseph does to stay tight with God through it, right? What does he do to stay tight with God through it all? This is the heading for the first little part, right? Slavery, but everything's looking okay. So turn to a few people around you. And if you can say it with a bit of like, woo, it's kind of cool. So turn to a few people around you and say, everything's okay. All good? Turn and say it with some fun. It's all good. Okay, it's okay to have fun in church, right? You don't have to be boring and everything's going to be okay. I don't know. If you want to be boring, you can. It's all good. Hey, so let's read the first part, right? It's a long chapter, so we're just going to read some chunks from it. So let's read a few bits from Genesis. If you've got a device, say, grab your device. It's always good. I'm always a big believer that I could just be making this stuff up. And you're like, well, it's a great verse from the Bible that doesn't even exist. So grab your Bible, check it out, make sure I'm not shady. Well, I am shady, but I'm not shady when I'm preaching much. Okay, let me read this, Genesis 39, starting in verse 1. When Joseph was taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased. Man, stop for a second. This whole concept of slavery just crushes me, man. I have no idea what that is like. I have no idea what it would have been like for Joseph, who's the favorite son. He had the flesh cloak, and the next minute his brother's trying to kill him, and to stand on an auction block as a possession and see people bidding for him. What is he worth? Slavery is evil. Absolutely evil. Man. He was purchased. Unbelievable. By Potiphar, an Egyptian official. Potiphar was captain of the guard for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. The Lord was with Joseph. Amazing. So he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. Jump down to verse 6. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned, with Joseph there. And this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Are you holding on for a cool verse? This is my dream life. With Joseph there, he didn't worry about a thing except what kind of food to eat. I'm like, no, that's like my dream. Hands up, who loves to eat? Everyone? Yeah? Oh, man. I'd end up weighing like 400 pounds if I had like Joseph rocking around. All I had to worry about was what to eat. But I just love this. Hey, this blessing of God on Joseph's life is crazy. I just want to camp just real briefly on this whole concept of slavery. To me, slavery is one of the most horrible aspects of humanity that we do to other people, right? To desire to control someone to the point that they have no rights, no will, no voice, no life. They purely exist for my enjoyment. They purely exist for my pleasure. Just blows my brains. It really does, how one human can do that to another human. In Genesis 1, God makes it really clear that we are made in the image of God, right? Does it make sense? We are made in the image of God. We have worth purely because of who we are. Whether you're a believer, whether you're in a relationship with Jesus or not, you have worth. You are beautiful. You are awesome because you are made in the image of God. And then for someone to try and steal that by putting someone into a place of slavery is just evil. I love this quote from Tony Evans. Tony Evans is a pastor over in America, and he's reflecting on this image of God. I love this. An image is a mirror or reflection. Let me go back. Just stop for a second. I love that little quote, right? A mirror is an image or a reflection, man. Everyone you engage with this week, this afternoon, isn't an image or a reflection of the creator of the universe. you yourself, you are a reflection of the creator of the universe, Almighty God. Man, whether you realize it or not, you are beautiful. You are amazing. You are incredible. Why? Because you're awesome. But because you are made, you reflect God. Man, you have worth that you don't even understand. We don't even understand. Man, I just love that. An image is a mirror or reflection. Beautiful. This also means that everybody, regardless of their race or ethnicity, has intrinsic value and worth. Dignity is innate. Man, I love that, eh? Dignity is innate. All humans are born with esteem because they are created in the image of God. Man, I just love that, eh? There's a lot of crazy stuff going on in our planet at the moment, and some of it needs to go on, right? And at the core of it is that we have value. No matter your color, no matter your ethnicity, your nationality, or whatever you want to say. You have this innate value because you're made in the image of God. I just love that. And for Joseph to have that removed, for people in society to have that removed, always for the pleasure, for the betterment of someone else, is just pure evil, right? Just pure evil, man. Turn and say to a couple of people around you, you reflect God. You say that? You reflect God. So important, eh? So important. I know it's weird, but if you struggle with that, easy to say to the random person sitting beside you, but if you struggle with that, one of the things I'd encourage you to do is, man, every morning, look in the mirror and just say to the mirror, which is you, if you didn't figure that out, you reflect God, right? You have worth, you have value because you're made in the image of God. It's beautiful. You've got to wonder, though, for Joseph, how he felt with this. In this position of slavery, when everything of value about himself, his identity, is just removed, right? And you've got to get the transition. One day he is the favorite son of a very, very wealthy man. He would have had servants and slaves and camels and cool things. Next minute he's in a hole about to be killed. Next minute he's a slave being sold. And like I said at the beginning, you've got to wonder, how does he not just question all this? And go, where the heck is God? Where's the dreams and the promises and the blessing that I was meant to experience while I'm standing on this auction block about to be sold? The key is in the text, obviously. Four different times in the text it says the Lord was with Joseph. We've read two, we're going to read two at the end. And one of the things that you just see Joseph holding on to in this is the reality, the proof worked out in his life that the Lord is with me, God has got me. In the pit, about to be killed by my brothers, being taken as a slave to Egypt. God has got me. The Lord is with me. And this is kind of this core thing that you just see there. So Moses wrote this, right? That you see Moses writing right through this chapter. The Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. I was thinking about this week, and I was thinking, man, I wonder how many times Joseph was in the most horrible situation we can't imagine. And that was the thing that he held on to. The Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. He's got me. God's got me. I think it's one of the most important things that we need to grasp as humans, right? That God blesses us, that God loves us, that God has us. And I think one of the dangers that we have as humans, as Dave was talking about before, is we allow ourselves unwisely to be crazy busy, and we don't take time to reflect on the goodness of God in our life. Does it make sense, eh? And the crazy thing you see in Joseph's life is it's not just the goodness of God in his life, it's also God holding him through the crap. I debated whether I should use that evil word, but I thought, no, I want you to get, I mean, he's a slave, man. He's going to be a prisoner. His life is horrible. When Joseph looks at his life and looks back on his life, he sees good things. His hands are blessing of God. But in the midst of the horrible, in the midst of things hitting the fan, Joseph goes, yeah, God has got me. The Lord is with me in the midst of the hardship. One of the things I really want to encourage you to do this week is to take some time, set some time aside to look back over your life, not just at the good, but at the bad, and look for the hand of God in your life. He loves you like crazy. He's way more present than we, I don't want to say you, we are aware of. He journeys way more closely with us, blesses us way more than we understand. Now, because I know in church we say things like, so this week reflect on it. Everyone's like, amen, bro, that's great. And then no one does, right? Because you're all shady and don't love me. And I cry a lot in my office. It's terrible. Wet floors, shocking. What we're going to do is we're going to email you tomorrow because we love you. And so Mahalia, who does all our comms here, May, Mahalia, her and I have already written an email. She's going to email you tomorrow. If you're on our thing, if you're not on our list, if you're not part of the church, get hooked in so we can, you know, spam you. No, we don't spam you. And we're going to email you and say, hey, this week, right now, while you've got the email sitting in front of you, Jump into your calendar and set aside 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever you need, to just reflect on your life and take some time. We're going to chuck it all over social media, so if you follow us on Facebook, Instagram, take that time to reflect, right, and to see in the good and in the bad that God has really got you, right? We love you, and we just wanted to make sure that kind of, you don't just sit in church and go, ee, and then you totally forget about it. So Joseph's life is this crazy time of everything's looking okay, and then everything's looking okay, and this is crazy, right? We're getting into a heavy bit in the sermon, so I thought I'd chuck in a little funny story, right? So it illustrates it, but it's also to allow you to laugh, hopefully, at me, and then we'll get into the heavy stuff. So years ago, back in, man, the early 90s, which this whole section is like, the early what? There was the 90s? What are you talking about, bro? In the early 90s, there was we had an old car. Joseph and I had an old car, an old Citroen, and the fuel gauge didn't work, right? So you know hopefully where the story's going to go. And we were living in Claudelands here in Kirikiriroa, and I was preaching down in Tokoroa, so about a couple of hours south. And we left real early because we're like good people. If you're preaching, you want to get to church like early. It's kind of awkward turning up late and they're all sitting around waiting. And I blasted off. And the petrol gauge would literally, it was one of those ones that just kind of, sometimes the car's full, now it's empty, now it's just chilling in the middle. You just have no idea, so you kind of guess. And we guessed, well, I guessed, I won't blame my wife. I guessed terribly wrongly. We're blasting along the old State Highway 1 and we got just the side of Cambridge and boom, 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 and the car died. And it's like, I'm meant to be preaching. So we left. Everything's going good. It's awesome. I'm sure we were singing worship songs and Joseph would be playing the piano with long hair and denim. No, I'm joking. We're under gas and it's like, I'm meant to be the preacher in Tokoroa. What are we going to do? So we rang and, yeah, kia ora, Janine, sorry. Joseph's sister Janine came and rescued us with a gas can of petrol. So we chucked that in. But the Citroen is this weird old car. If you're mechanical, feel free to judge me. I don't know anything about engines. And she bought out like 5 litres of gasoline. We chucked that in. But this car had an old hand fuel pump that when it runs out of petrol, you have to pump it by hand, which I'm like, I have no idea about that. So we're trying to start it. It's not working. So there's no cell phone. So back into the house of the people, we stopped and rang, can borrow your phone, rang Joseph's dad, who's like one of those backyard mechanics and just fix everything on the planet. He comes out with heaps more gas. Now we're like so late for church. It's just stupid. Finally get the car going. Back on the road, so everything's great, terrible gas. Yes, Janine's turned up with gas, everything's good. Not enough gas, pump doesn't work. Brian turns up to rescue. It's just a crazy morning, right? Then we're driving along, and we got somewhere near Putaruru, and the next minute, whoa, the car's feeling real funky. And Joseph, literally, because we were so late, I'm like, I am not stopping. Joseph's hanging out the window, and one of the tyres totally flat. It was just like, what is going on? So it's a Citroen, and it's a weird old Citroen. Apparently, they can tell when they've got a flat tyre. I don't understand this. And it literally lifted the tyre up, so we're just blasting along on 3 wheels. I was like, well, we're just going to keep going. So we slowed down a bit. We got to church like real late. And just to finish the story, because the ending's just hilarious, right? So you're like, oh, maybe Satan's stopping me because my sermon's going to be amazing or something. But it's funny. So we get there. They're like, they'll just keep singing and having like communion and chilling. Those are real cool people. So we turn up. So sorry, they're like, nah, come on in. So I preached what I thought was a decent sermon. And then we had lunch afterwards, and I was sitting by this old guy and two old diggers across from each other, and one guy was new, and the old guy says to this guy, oh, you know, it's so good to see you here this morning, and what did you think of the service? And he goes, oh, I just love the singing, but, man, that preacher guy was just rubbish. And I was right beside him like, what the heck, right? Everything's good, everything's terrible, everything's good. God's got me, you know, in the midst of that terrible sermon. So I don't know, eh? A good story. All right. Hey, so let's get into some crazy parts, right? So this is the middle chunk. Lust, power, and fleeing. Lust, power, and fleeing. Don't turn to anyone and say lust because that's just awkward. Turn to a few people around you, though, and say fleeing, fleeing with some enthusiasm. Is that all good? Fleeing. Okay, let's read verses 6 to 12, eh? So if you've got your Bible again, jump in there. Joseph was a very handsome and well-built young man. It's real interesting. If you look in, so the Old Testament's written in Hebrew. If you read this verse in Hebrew, it actually says this. Joseph was a very handsome and well-built young man, a lot like Craig Barrow, which is bizarre to me, right? It's the Hebrew, so you can't argue. All right. And Potiphar's wife soon began to look at him lustfully. Come and sleep with me, she demanded. And Joseph's response is interesting. Look at verse 8. But Joseph refused. Look, he told her, my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. No one here has more authority than I do. He's held back nothing from me except you because you are his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God. I just love Joseph's his ethics in here. He says, I don't want to be evil against my master because the trust he's put in me, but also I don't want to sin against God. He's being wise. Verse 10. This is a hard verse, right? Verse 10. She kept putting pressure on Joseph day after day, but he refused to sleep with her, and he kept out of her way as much as possible. One day, however, no one else was around when he went to do his work. She came and grabbed him by his cloak, demanding, come on, sleep with me. And Joseph tore himself away, but he left his cloak in her hands as he ran from the house. It's the second time this cloak thing's been crazy, right? You remember in the chapter 37, when Dave preached that he had the fancy cloak and, you know, got dipped in blood to convince his dad that he was dead, and now this whole cloak thing. And then she calls for servants and they come in, and then finally Potiphar comes home and she says, you know, he tried this servant, and she always accuses her husband, and both times when she tells the servant and when she says it to Potiphar, both times she says, this Hebrew slave that you brought into our house tried to rape me. It's like, it's all your fault, husband. It's like, oh, the poor husband. So pretty crazy, lust, power, and fleeing. I want to talk on two pretty full-on points as we get into this, eh? Here's the first one. Abuse of power in relationships is evil, right? Abuse of power in relationships is evil. You have to stop and think how tough this was for Joseph. When Potiphar's wife is using her position of power, she literally owns him. He has no worth, no voice, no identity. He is just a product in their house. And she owns him. We don't have slavery in New Zealand anymore, not publicly anyway. But still a lot of people find themselves in horrible positions because someone uses their power to control them, to manipulate them, to abuse them, always only for their own pleasure and their own blessing. Real similar to slavery, right? Which to me is shocking in our advanced society that this still happens so much. I was reading on the Women's Refuge site this week. Women's Refuge is a, I'm sure you know, they have houses set up all over the place where ladies can go who are in abusive relationships to escape, and they help them and counsel them and all sorts of stuff. And I was reading this on their website this week when I was doing a bit of research, and I just thought this was crazy. The impacts of the pandemic on families and communities do not cause violence, but it can mean abusers have more opportunities to perpetrate and conceal violence. Abusive people might withhold essential items from victims, scare tactics about the virus, or prevent them from seeking help. And I was just like, man, how messed up are we as humans? That the pandemic's happening and evil people think, oh, how can I use this to control someone even more? How can I use this to abuse someone even more? I honestly read it and I was just like, yeah, I just am constantly shocked by our evilness. I wonder how many times Joseph just felt absolutely powerless, right? Absolutely powerless, that there is just nothing he can do. He's stuck. He's trapped in this situation. I don't have time to carry on and on about this, but one of the things I want to say is that we as a church really care about our whānau. We really do. We know in a room this size there will be people that are in an abusive relationship of different flavors, types, and stuff. And as a church, we just want to acknowledge that and go, society is messed up. But we want to be part of the journey of helping you get freedom and get wholeness. Heaps of us in this room will know of people in abusive relationships, and we have that responsibility. We see it on TV, we hear it on the radio all the time, to speak up for those people that are just in too much fear and shame and abuse to speak up for themselves. And as a church, we want to be part of that journey. We're not saying we've got magic wands that will fix everything instantly or anything, but we want to say we will do whatever it takes. We will journey with you. We will journey with your friend to help them get freedom. We have resources and groups we connect with. Jeremy's a counselor in church. He'd love to be part of that journey. So we're not just saying that. We're not just like, ooh, abuse is so evil. Good luck. Stop it. We're saying, man, we can't imagine for a second what it's like to be in an abusive, oppressive, horrible relationship. But that we as a church care. We really do. And we want to be a part of that journey to help people find freedom from this. Man. There's a website that Jeremy recommended, which is areyouok.org.nz. Again, we're going to email you this, because if you're in that situation, you're not going to be able to pull out your phone now and take notes, obviously. So we're going to email you this. And when I went to this website, which is, again, real helpful and has resources and stuff, I almost cried in my office, to be honest. The website is all about helping people in abusive relationships find freedom and escape, right? And on the website, there's a button you click that removes all the tracking so that if someone checks your search history, they can't see that you've been looking for help. And I just went, man, I would never have thought someone would be that evil and that oppressive on someone. It has a button. I did a little cry in my office when I checked out this button. There's a button that just says hide, and you click hide, and instantly stuff news loads. So in case someone who's needing help is on the website and someone walks in, they can just click that, and, oh, I'm just looking at the news. And I was like, oh, I just can't even imagine being in a situation where you live under that kind of fear and that kind of control. If it's you, if you're on the podcast listening to this, hey, For someone in here, man, we just want to cry with you and journey with you and help you find freedom. In the name of Jesus, we really do. We've got some tools and things, but Jesus is the one who has the power to bring that freedom. Man, let me pray for us as we move on. Atamari. Atu, we just don't understand, eh? I say this carefully, God. I don't understand how you allow such evil and you don't engage. I just don't get it. I know it's the respect of free will and all that theology stuff. I can argue all that, but I know your heart breaks. I know so often you use us to help people find freedom. I pray for us as a whānau right now. I pray for anyone listening to this on the podcast that knows of someone or is someone who needs to get out of an oppressive slavery-like situation. God, guide them. Give them unbelievable strength in the name of Jesus. Help us to be a church that's ready to help. We don't want to say this kind of stuff and then not leap into action. So guide us. Bless Jeremy and the work he does helping so many people find freedom, God. Yeah, pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So abusive power in relationships is evil, right? Here's the second one. Power in lust is evil. Power in lust is really evil. This next one's really hard to talk about because this directly affects a lot of us in this room. For most of us, hopefully all of us, we don't have a shady man or woman trying to lure us to have sex with them. If you do, come and talk to me afterwards and we'll pray because that's not a good thing, right? But for most of us, we don't. But what we do have is an internet fueled by porn that's trying to do exactly the same thing, right? It's trying to lure us away from God. It's trying to lure us away from that core identity that we have. I read an article in Psychology Today that just talks about some of the effects of porn. They did a survey back in 2018, and it was in America, but it would be real similar here. And here's some of their stats. In terms of basic results, they found that 73% of women, 98% of men, reported internet porn use in the last 6 months. This is Psychology Today, so it's a real independent. It's not like some weird angle thing. For a total of 85% of the respondents, for porn use within the last week, the numbers were lower. 80% of men, I'm like, not much lower. 26% of women. Scary stats when you think about how huge and how pervasive and how accepted this is becoming in our society. I have a good friend in Tauranga whose name is Rory, and he runs a organization called Safe Surfer, and I'll talk a bit more about them in a second, but they exist to help families combat porn because it's pervasive, as you're going to see in a second. I got some stats. So Rory and I were talking this week. It's a global company, though. I have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people using their filtering software and so on to help combat porn. And here's some stats around teenagers, which is kind of terrifying, right? This is real recent. 82% of New Zealand 16 to 18-year-olds have seen porn. One in three New Zealand boys is watching porn several times a week. I'm like, just sit on that for a minute. What the heck is going on in our society that this is just accepted and allowed by our government to carry on? It just freaks me out. This next stat's terrifying. 37% of New Zealand young people say pornography has shaped expectations in relationships. That's a real healthy expectation to have, eh? 34% of internet users have been exposed to unwanted porn via ads, pop-ups, etc. Porn sites receive more regular traffic than Netflix, Amazon, and Twitter combined each month. I was like, just sit on that one for a second. During lockdown, we're all like clocking through Netflix, clocking up big hours, but that's just nothing compared to the usage of porn in our society. Man, this is terrifying, right? Terrifying. I'm going to look at the ground when I say this. I don't want to catch people's eyes, but just stop for a second, and if these stats are right, which they are, there's a lot of us in this room that are addicted to porn in varying ways, right? In varying ways. And so I kind of want to just address this a bit. Okay, what did Joseph do when lust was trying to destroy him? What did Joseph do? So he did a couple of things really intentionally. Here's the first one, right? He kept away. He kept away. Verse 10, which I read, said he kept out of your way as much as possible. You're smart people. We're smart people. If you're listening to this on the podcast, you're real smart. We know when porn gets us. We know the where, we know the how, we know the why. We know, oh, it's when my wife is away, and then because it's when my flatmates are out. It's at night because I keep my phone by my bed and I don't want to, but then I get up in the morning, I'm at work and there's this room. Yeah. We're smart people. We know when porn grabs us, right? Joseph knew when the woman was going to get him, so he tried to keep out of her way. We have to be smart. I'm going to say a lot here, so don't just be like, oh, is that it? That's really dumb. This is just part of it, right? To think, okay, when does porn get me? That's when it does. I've got to avoid that. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be a pain. It's going to be frustrating. It's going to mess up your life, but freedom from porn, man. What a glorious reality to be going for, right? Be smart and plan ahead not to be in those situations. Hard to do. Super hard to do. I'm not for a second saying, you know, oh, isn't that the case? Shot Craig. It's not real hard to do. How? What's the second thing? I love this. He just ran. He just ran. Maybe for you there needs to be times when you're at home or work or wherever the heck this gets you, and you just literally physically get up and run. You don't pull on running clothes or anything. You just get out of the house, get out of the office, get out of the whatever, and you go. Because it gets you, man. It gets you. I've talked to a lot of guys over the years. So I used to run a Bible college in Tauranga. Usually around 80 to 90% of our guys were addicted to porn. And these are the Jesus nerds, people. These are the nerds that are heading off to Bible college. So, you know, us normal people, what's our stats? So I've journeyed with a lot of guys through this whole porn thing. And the number one thing that helps, so filtering software is great. I'm going to talk about that in a second. Counseling, super important. If it's a core thing that's really got you, counseling can be so helpful. But the number one thing that will help is accountability. Every time, the number one thing that helps is accountability and honesty and accountability. Meeting up with someone, looking at the table, coughing a bit, and then going, yeah, stuffed up again this week. And then the person on the other side of the table either punching you. That's what I always do to the guys. I'm like, come on, bro. Whoosh, kicking them under the table. Hugging them. Crying with them. Praying with them. Talking about some stuff. Okay, man, back on the horse. Back on the wagon. Back on the whatever it is. Next week, man, you can do it. Jesus got you. Texting them all the time. Come on, bro. Purity today, man. Purity today. There's a bunch of guys I journey with now. I was texting a few of them this morning. Purity today, bro. Purity. Accountability is the key to it all, right? Meeting up with a friend and having them ask how you're doing and then not judging you. last time I checked, every one of us in this room is pretty good at sinning, to be honest. If it's not porn that's got us, something else is like messing with our heads, messing with our soul. None of us have a right to judge someone, so we sit across the table and we cry and we go, man, this planet is messed up, right? Accountability is just super important, right? Super important. I love this verse from 2 Timothy. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionships of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. And this is exactly what I'm saying, right? I love that. The first one, run. Just run. You got to make changes. It's all good. It's real hard, but man, what is the price of your soul? What is the price of that purity? What is the price of being able to look at your husband, your wife, your future husband or wife and go, yeah, I'm pure. It doesn't have me, you know. Run. Second thing's really cool, eh? Instead, pursue righteous living. Sometimes the reason that porn's got us is because we're looking at the wrong stuff. We're allowing the wrong things to come into our eyes, to come into our ears. What am I watching? What am I listening to? What am I allowing to infiltrate me? Who am I hanging out with? How do they talk about porn? How do they talk about sex? How do they talk about lust? I love what Paul says, run and change what you're allowing to get into your soul. And then the last bit is the classic, right? Enjoy companionship. Enjoy companionship with those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. You've got to get that accountability going, right? You just got to get that accountability going. Here's a couple of websites that can be really helpful. So again, we're going to email you all this, right? Because you're not going to pull out your phone now. Oh, just type down that website. Everyone around you is like, whoa, what's that guy typing? Ah, freak out and run away. So we're going to email you. So here's a couple. So Safe Surfer, really good website. It's free. I think it's like $1 on Android. If you've got an iPhone, it's free because iPhones are amazing. And I have it on all my devices. Obviously, Jeremy and I were talking this week, and Jeremy's the counselor. He has it on all his devices. And it's just a simple filtering software. It just stops you looking at porn sites. It's great. It's a bit inconvenient. Sometimes you try and go to a legit site, and you're blocked, and you're like, damn it. But it's like, yay, my soul is safer. And they have a whole bunch of really good resources for helping with families and helping families talk about this. How the heck, you looked at those stats before around teenagers as a parent, how the heck are you meant to have the porn talk with your kid? It's like, I don't know, I don't want to do that. They have heaps of tools and books and stuff, resources. It's a really good site. And then Covenant Eyes is a really good one. So it's another one over in America. They have filtering software, programs, all sorts of stuff. But you've got to hear me real clearly on this. The filtering is great. The running is great. All this is really good. But the number one thing that will help you overcome porn is accountability. It's accountability. You can download all the software in the world, but you're real smart, man. We're real smart. And when that desire comes on you, whatever your addiction is, when that comes on you, you will find a way. You'll find a way. But if you've got that accountability person, you know you're going to meet up with them. They're going to look you in the eye. In love, not in judgment. In love. It's the difference, right? It's the difference. Shame and fear are the devil's greatest tools in stopping us seeking help, right? That's what he's going to be saying to you right now. Don't, bro, don't. Keep it hidden. If someone finds out, shame, fear, that's his tool. When you get that email this week, when you see it on social media, just don't even hesitate. Go, okay, I've got to do this. Contact Jeremy, his email address. We just have an email address called Care. At CBC, and they'll just go to Jeremy. It's not going to the office. The office is not like, whoa, so-and-so's got a problem with porn, isn't it? It's just going to go to Jeremy. He can help you. Contact me, Dave. One of us would love to journey with you on that, right? We're not going to judge you. We're not idiots. We're as messed up as you are. We're not going to judge you. I love this little quote from a commentary I was reading this week. Joseph did not yield to temptation because he was convinced God had something marvelous for him to do. I love that, eh? Let me read it again. Joseph did not yield to temptation because he was convinced God had something marvelous for him to do. Joseph would not throw away God's blessings for the pleasures of sin. I love that. I have two statements I say all the time. Satan gets me at times. There's temptations I have in my life. And there's two statements I say all the time. And the first one is, I do not want to let Satan have me. I say that again and again. Feel a temptation for something and I just go, I'm not going to let Satan have me. And then the other one I say all the time is I want all that God has for me. I want all that God has for me. God wants to bless me like crazy. He loves me. I'm made in his image. He thinks I'm amazing. I think he's nuts, but he thinks I'm amazing. Man, I want all that God has for me. I am not going to let Satan have me. It's my two little things. So you're going to get that email on Monday with these websites and encouraging you to reach out, chuck it on social media. Let me do a little pray, and then I just got one more little bit, which is not terrifying. So if you're freaking out right now, you're going to go a bit lighter. Yeah, kia ora atua. Kia ora eo. Right now, God, you see people's hearts. You know their souls, you know their minds. And right now you know there's some people sitting on the fence. They'd love to be free from porn. They've tried 1,000,000,000 times before and it just keeps getting them. Give them your strength, Jesus. Give them your boldness to reach out and get in a relationship with someone who loves them and cares about them and who can hold their feet to the fire in love, not in judgment, who can journey with them. Help them to just download the software at least for a start and start thinking of running and all the stuff I've been talking about, God. Yeah, Holy Spirit, I know you're the one who is like our counselor, our guide. It must just break your heart when you see someone you love, someone that you're trying to draw, someone you're trying to empower, just sacrifice that empowerment and that blessing from God as you indwell them, as they, again, allow Satan to win in their life. Man, strengthen us in the name of Jesus. Ki te ingoa o te mātua, o te tamiti, ko te wairua tapu. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I feel like I just call out to you, triune God. This is destroying us, man. Change our hearts, Jesus. You're the only one that can. Change our hearts. Gracias, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's do the last bit. That's pretty heavy. Everyone breathe. Okay, we're all good. Prison and the Rise of Joseph. Let's read some Bible to get me back on track because I'm freaking out. This is the last bit, right? And we don't have time to read all these sections, but it's really interesting. If you read the last section, the prison section, it's nearly identical to the first section about Joseph going into slavery. You'll see it when I read it. It's kind of like, whoa, what the heck? So where are we going? Genesis 39, 21-23. Where are we going? I'll start in verse 19. Potiphar was furious when he heard his wife's story about how Joseph had treated her. So he took Joseph and threw him into the prison where the king's prisoners were held. And there he remained. But the Lord was with Joseph in prison and showed him his faithful love. Oh, I just love that verse. And the Lord made Joseph a favorite with the prison warden. Before long, the warden put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners. What? He's a prisoner. What do you mean he's in charge of all the other prisoners? Are there no soldiers? What's going on? Oh, that's right. God's hand of blessing on him. Nice. That wasn't in the Bible. Just, you know, I added that. And over everything that happened in the prison, the warden had no more worries. I'm like, who is this Joseph guy? The warden's like, again, just worrying about what he eats. The warden had no more worries because Joseph took care of everything. Insane. The Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. I just love it, eh? The hand of blessing on Joseph's life is just completely crazy, right? And it's because he stays tight with God. I'm sure he sinned and screwed up a zillion times. I mean, all of us do. But that hand of blessing on his life, man, I just love that. The prison is not like our prisons. I know our prisons are horrible, but they're nice compared to that. So his prison would have been a rat-filled, excrement-filled pit. It would have been disgusting. And in Psalm 105, it talks about Joseph, and it says how he had chains on his feet and an iron collar on his neck. I'm just like, eh, it just doesn't sound like a fun prison to me. I'm guessing they took that off as he raised up or in authority. I don't know, but it's pretty crazy. You see the same thing, like I said. It's a real mirror of what happened as he started working for Potiphar and everything comes under his control. And there's a key verse that's different. I love this verse, verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph in prison and showed him his faithful love. Man, I just love that. There's 13 years, right? 13 years between when Joseph is thrown in the pit until he stands before Pharaoh. So he's 17 when he's thrown in the pit. He's real young. Brothers want to kill him at 17. And then he's in slavery or prison for 13 long years. Where again and again, he must have just been like, where the heck is God? Where's the blessing of God? But he sees God working in his life. I love it, eh? I want to finish with a quote by C.S. Lewis. Where's Nick? Do you want to come up? Make me sound spiritual, Nick? Thanks, man. Here's a quote by C.S. Lewis. I've used this before, but because of what I was talking about, this just fits super well. So let me read this. You guys know this. It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition. And here we go, right? When infinite joy is offered us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea, we are far too easily pleased. Man, I love this, eh? Let me read that middle bit again. We are half-hearted creatures fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. This is that phrase I say again and again and again during the day. Let's stand. Etu, let's stand up. I want to finish with this. So I want you to look at the screen for a minute. I do not want to let Satan have me. I want all that God has for me. I say this next little bit in love. This sounds a bit rude. And I'm going to include myself, right? Some of us are literally choosing to miss out on God's blessing because of our actions. We're literally choosing to miss out on God's blessings. He's got the blessing ready to go. Because he loves us and he loves pouring out blessing on us. But we're intentionally allowing stuff to happen in our lives that's causing God's blessing to be withheld. Look at the screen again. Let me say it again, then I'm going to pray. It's going to be in the email, and I encourage you to maybe take it, stick it on your mirror, stick it in your car, stick it in your fridge. I do not want to let Satan have me. I do not want to let Satan have me. I want all that God has for me. Karakia, let's pray together. You God of love, God of infinite patience, God of understanding, God who never judges us, God who never turns his back and walks away from us in disgust. You look at us with love. God who opens his arms to us again and 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 loves to bless us. right now I pray over all of us, myself included, God, over all of us in this room, and I call out to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. I ask for your power to flow through us this week. I pray especially over people that are in or know of someone in an abusive relationship, and they, that fear, that shame, that just terror is too strong, God. Your strength is needed. Your strength is needed for them. I pray over people listening on the podcast, people in this room, that porn has a grip on them. And it's crippling all you want to do in them. It's removing that image of who they are in God. I pray over them right now in the name of Jesus for healing, for release, but for boldness to set up that accountability, for boldness to download some filtering software, for boldness to make a change. We're here this morning because we love you. We're here this morning because we do not want to let Satan have us. We're here this morning because we want to receive all the blessing and joy that you want to pour into our souls, God. Speak to us this week in the name of Jesus. Amen.